Hey kids, welcome back to the next episode of the Incredible Kids Podcast. My name is Moritz Siri, and I will be your host through this incredible journey. We are going to meet many incredible kids. They are going to share with us their stories. Some of them super cool and different like you've never heard before, and some you may say are just ordinary, but all of them incredible. If you have great ideas, email me today at ikidspodcast@gmail.com. And now it's time for
Incredible Kids.
It's time for the joke of the day!
Yay!
Today's joke is brought to you by
Ricky R. from Savannah, Georgia.
How do we know that Ahasuerus had a telephone? First he gave Haman a ring, then he hung him up.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the pre-Purim special episode of Incredible Kids Podcast being released this year on Tanis Esther. And whenever you're listening to this, it's going to be enjoyable. At this time, I want to encourage every single family to consider that while we're here in America enjoying Purim or wherever you are in the world, maybe you're even in Israel, maybe you're in Australia, but there are people in Eretz Israel who are much more involved in the war than we are over here. You know, our hearts are there, but we're not actually there. We have an opportunity to help out with tzedakah. And we're running an Incredible Kids Purim raffle for Eretz Yisrael. So it's really important that, you know, even if your family somehow gets together, it's only $100 for a ticket. We are going to do the drawing on Shushan Purim. So you have the whole Purim to collect the money. $100 a raffle ticket, and you can win a full set of Art Scroll Shas, a really beautiful tote bag for the women. You could win a Pesach cookbook. This is all one prize. A $500 gift card to a really beautiful jewelry store called Lids and Sis, and a beautiful pair of candlesticks from Laney Home. And it's a really, really special package. Just $100 a ticket for this raffle. Every single dollar raised goes straight to Eretz Yisrael. Head to inkraffle.com. inkraffle.com and buy your raffle ticket today or up until Shushan Purim, and it should be a huge zechus that you're supporting Eretz Yisrael in this very, very important time. Every year, as it gets closer and closer to Purim during the month of Adar, we just want to increase our happiness. We just want to increase our happiness, spread smiles. We know that when we smile, it makes other people smile. But when we do even more than that and we provide some sort of entertainment and use our talents to literally brighten up people's lives, it really can go a long way. Purim, which only comes once a year, it's crazy. Like, we have so much prep for it and then it's just like one day. But we could say, like, you know, Agan Siar Pidim. Like, the whole year we could be excited. You know, we don't want to be silly the whole year, but like, we could just have that kind of simcha ongoing. And I thought to myself, like, what better way to talk about happiness and spreading smiles than to interview some people who do that every single day, all the time, whether it's their job or their hobby. So I sat down to interview Shlomo Levenger, who is a hugely, wildly talented magician, and also some incredible kids who are going to meet very soon. We have Leah and David, and then we also have Gershon Mendel. And in the conversations, we talk about the talent itself and how that makes them happy and makes others happy. But also, we're going to find out some secrets into how they got to where they are today and how they continue to teach themselves new skills and build on their abilities. So I just want to say a huge thank you to our sponsor, Mosaica Press. As you know, Mosaica Press is a longtime sponsor of Incredible Kids, and you can always use the code KIDS18 for 18% off at mosaicapress.com. Anything on the website, and pretty soon you're going to hear about two books that I am very excited to tell you about today. Stay tuned. We asked our listeners, did you ever teach yourself something cool? Tell us all about it. Here's what they had to say.
My name is Mordechai David. I'm 11 years old, and I taught myself how to balance a broom on my finger.
Hi, my name is Ari, and I'm 11 years old, and I taught myself how to do the Diablo. It's a really cool, basically like a big yo-yo.
Hi, my name is Moshe, and I'm 9 years old, and I taught myself how to solve a Rubik's Cube in about 45 seconds.
Hi, it's Yael. I'm 12 years old, and a few years ago, I taught myself how to do a front flip.
Hi, I'm Nechama. I'm 13 years old, and I taught myself how to do Dutch braids. Hi, my name is Charles and I'm 7 years old and I taught myself how to sing and dance.
Hello, my name is Eliezer and I'm 10 years old and I taught myself how to build stuff with wood.
My name is Hananya and I'm 5 years old and I taught myself how to do a cartwheel.
Hi, my name is Amuna and I'm 6 years old and something cool that I taught myself is how to swim.
Hi, my name is Deborah and I'm 7 years old and something cool I taught myself is gymnastics.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Moshe and I live in Florida and I taught myself that how to make paper stand without bending it.
Hi, my name is Stevie and I am 11 years old. I learned how to whistle. I'm a really good whistler and I've known how to whistle for quite some time now. I can whistle to many different songs. I'll do it for you now. And it's actually really fun. You could whistle to many different songs, and I really like it.
And now enjoy this first interview with Shlomo Levenger. Kids, I want you to listen to how humble he is the whole time. Really just realizing that his talents are a gift from Hashem, and he really, really works hard to perfect his skills, and he just has such a happiness and simchas hachaim about life and about what he does and his mission to just make people happy. And yes, it's possible for your job to be something that you really, really enjoy. It was so incredible to be able to talk to somebody like that directly and hear words of inspiration. So I hope you enjoy. Hi, Shlomo. Welcome to Incredible Kids Podcast. It's an honor to have you here.
Hello. It's an honor to be here. This is exciting. I'm very excited.
Yay. Okay. So it's almost Purim. I really was toying with so many different ideas of who we could interview, what we could talk about, what do kids want to hear about this time of year. The only thing that I really want to do is fun, happy topics right now. I'm not interested in talking about problems and struggles right now. That's good for other times. Right now, we just want to focus on happy stuff. So I had this idea to, yeah, exactly. No, I don't have to say anymore. Okay, so Shlomo, you're a magician, I guess, but that's what people know about you. We have a lot of listeners here from around the world. And, you know, a brief 2 minutes, how would you introduce yourself to complete strangers?
All right, so my name is Shlomo Levenger. I am 26 years old. I currently live in Far Rockaway, New York. I grew up in Queens, New York. My wife's name is Shani. I'm a magician. That's what I do for a living.
We're getting good scoop.
Yeah, that's what I do for a living. That's what I do for fun. It used to be a hobby. Then I turned it into a business. I do a lot of shows for all different types of crowds all around the world. Most recently, I've been doing a lot of stuff with like athletes. So that's pretty cool. And yeah, it's just a fun job just to do tricks for people, see the reactions.
Turn it over.
No!
What?
No! No, 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 no.
It's always like a really good way to connect to people, and it's a good conversation starter. And I absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite things in the world. Any other good information?
No, you just said a lot of stuff, and I could technically end the interview here. And Shlomo, it was really good. It was really good to have you. Have
a
great day.
If I say too much, just cut me off because I talk so much.
No, okay, no, but I'm happy you just gave us a very good, like, I would say that's like an overview. It was like, blah, 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 blah. But now I'm going to like break down every single thing you said, because here's what I think is really important. I think that, you know, a lot of kids think magic is very cool. I think magic is very cool. When I watch magic, my mouth is just like wide open the whole time. And I'm like, how do you do that? So I think a lot of kids feel that way. And a lot of kids also see you as a magician who is super cool. And you don't do like nerdy magic tricks. You do like super cool things that totally wouldn't expect. And kids might be like, hey, I'm going to do that too. And obviously it's not so simple. I would imagine that where you are right now, even though you're so young and it's so impressive that 26 years old, you were a kid like 2 minutes ago. And now you're awesome. You know, I'm sure there's a big story behind that. So I want to hear a little bit. Like, can we talk about the Shlomo Levenger, little boy Shlomo, like when you were like my Shlomo's age, 2 years old? No, I'm just kidding. Like when you...
So-
you know, starting your earliest memories of magic.
First of all, when I was 2 years old, I definitely wasn't doing magic tricks. I mean, the only magic tricks I was doing is probably just making a mess. Like when I was probably about 11 or 12, even earlier, I remember like just from a really young age, like I was like, was a little bit creative. So like I learned how to do like a handstand, or like I learned how to juggle when I was really little. And like, I got into that for a little bit. And like, this is like,
how old were you? How old? Like roughly?
I was probably like 7 or 8 when I learned how to juggle. Like,
wow. Just
like, yeah, like I juggled balls.
Now, I want to hear more. Like who taught you how to juggle? You taught yourself?
I think I just taught myself. Yeah. It was like before the time where you could really just like find a video on like learning something. I think I just like taught myself, or maybe someone showed me. And then I learned how to juggle clubs, and then I once juggled knives, and then, and after that, I'm like, that's it. I graduate. I'm done. Like, how much further can you go? Like, this is it. So I kind of steered away from that. There was a minute where like, I learned how to like ride a unicycle, but it's definitely different. So it's just like, I don't know. I was just like, okay. Like,
it's not so practical.
Not practical. I'm a huge believer in like, do what you feel like you want. If there's a hobby that talks to you and it's
you tried it out, it didn't work out.
Yeah. Like if there's a hobby that's like kosher and like you think it would be fun, go do it. Like don't listen to what other people say. Like even if it's like a little bit different, doesn't matter. I promise you'll enjoy it.
By the way, there's a guy in Baltimore. Like I live in Baltimore. There's a guy that I see sometimes commuting to work. I'm not joking. Like a man, like a businessman. I see him on the main street here in Baltimore wearing like a briefcase on his back and riding a unicycle to work. I'm not joking.
Wow. I think, you know what's funny? A friend of mine just told me about this. He told me, he's like,
I'm in Baltimore.
Yeah, because a friend of mine from like when I was really young, and like he's like, you remember when you used to ride a unicycle? I was like, yeah. He's like, I literally just saw a dude in Baltimore running a unicycle. No jokes. That happened. So that's
the same
crazy.
Guy. Has to be. I don't know who he is, but I see him all the time.
I'm sure there's only one guy riding around Baltimore on a unicycle. So,
if anyone's been in Baltimore long enough, before I got married, I decided that like to meet Chasen and Kala, I decided to make my friends who are Kala happy. I was going to learn how to ride a unicycle. So I bought a unicycle from like, I think it's called unicycle.com. And I ordered, it's like $100. And I tried riding it and it was pretty good. I went like 3 pedals and then I'd fall. And I would like ride it. Like I would like hold on to the walls, both walls on either side of me in the hallway in my parents' house. And then finally I was like scratching everything, whatever. And then I ended up getting engaged the same time. And then like a lot of things didn't end up happening that I wanted to do. I moved with the unicycle. And it's a true story. It's right next to me in the storage room. I still have it. It's been 11 years. And
I think I hope to
pick it up sometime in the future.
Yeah, listen. I moved with it
like 5 times.
Yeah, if I tried again, I don't know if I'll be able to do it right now. But I was pretty good at one point. I knew how to do it. It was good. So if you want to learn how to run,
then you were on to new things. So where did magic start?
So I mean, those lasted like pretty short. Like it wasn't very like I remember juggling at like my uncle's wedding and like stuff like that. But like it was never something that I was like super passionate about. Then I started magic. And that's where like it really changed, because when I started magic, you know, it was a different ballgame for a few reasons. It was along the same path as the performances of like juggling, unicycling, like, but this time I was older and I could appreciate it more. So I was 14 years old. I think I saw a video of someone doing a trick and I was like, whoa, that is crazy. I want to be able to do that on somebody else. I want to have that feeling of like, I can do that. Feel the magic. So I think I just went down the rabbit hole of like learning beginning of magic, like beginner, you know, sleight of hand moves, beginner card tricks. And I loved it. And I just stuck to it. Fast forward 12 years. Here I am. And like, yeah. So like when I started out, I was just doing it as a hobby for fun. Like just so many people have come over to me over the years and been like, oh, I was into magic at one point. I don't know. And I just kind of like fizzled out. And that happens to a lot of people, but I guess not me. I guess I just stuck with it. And I always felt like I had something to work on. Like I like being creative and like working on new things. And it always gave me something to like, okay, I'm working on this. And then like you get the satisfaction when you actually learn how to do it and then do it on somebody else. And you actually see like, whoa, that works. And you see the reaction. It's one of the best feelings in the world. So like
when you started learning, you were watching videos, like how did you teach yourself even the simpler reading book? I remember like getting books about magic from the library.
Yeah. So I'm not such a book person, to be honest. Like I don't learn well from book. A lot of people do. I personally don't. Like I'm not a book learner.
We know all about those.
So yeah, a lot of it in the beginning was videos. So if something like Look Cool, I would like.
Did you have like a person that helped you, like a personal, like someone that actually showed you what to do, or it was all just like videos?
Not right away. In the beginning, I was really teaching myself, and like I was really just watching videos, you know, copying what they were doing, learning the move, tutorials. Learning, like the first move I ever learned was like a one-handed cut. Like you take a card and like you give it like a one-handed cut. That was like one of the first moves I ever learned. And like, I just practiced that over and over and over. And like, when I finally got it, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I love this. In the beginning of Magic, there's so much to learn. There is a certain point that you hit that like, you learned all the very useful moves for the first 2 years, for sure. You're like, there's always a new move to learn that's very useful. So like now, if I learn a move, I can't say that I would use it every day. I already know pretty much all of that stuff. But a lot of times there's something that I learn now that's a new concept or a new performance right. style, a method. Right. It's more of that now. But in the beginning, it was much more like real technique. And like that was like really cool to me.
So what I find to be so awesome about your style of magic is we call it like close-up magic, right? Is there like a fancier name for that, or that's what it's called? Like when you get close to the crowd and you're like showing them stuff in their face so that they really feel like what? How's that even possible? Because I'm right here. Like how did I miss that? Absolutely. Like, you know, is that that's like your thing,
so
right?
It's called close-up magic. I mean, I do two different things. I do close-up magic. So I do a lot of like what it's called walk around close-up magic. I mean, I do also have my stage show, which I perform quite often. So it's two very different performance styles, but the close-up is always like close to my heart because that's how I started. I started with close-up magic, and like the cool part about it is that it's really, it's like in your hands, like you're right there. And like a lot of people think when you watch magic, you're like, oh, like of course I can't see what's happening, like I'm 100 yards away, and like they're all the way on the stage, right. Like I don't know what they're doing. And like
right,
here,
but you're right there, it's like
it's in front of your eyes. There's nowhere else to go. Like, it's literally right in front of you, and it still happens. It's really creepy, and it's awesome.
What's the trick that makes people freak out the most? Because I think the funniest part of watching your tricks, besides the trick itself, is just watching people's reactions. Like, those people who are like, ah! Like, and like, that's not possible. Or like, or when they like, I feel like sometimes, like, people just like run. Like, no, they just like run away.
They just run away. It's like the weirdest thing. They're scared. They're just scared.
So
they run away.
So what's the tricks that make them do that? Like, what stands out at you? What's the first thing that comes to mind?
There's different types of tricks. I think a lot of the mind reading stuff where, like, I'm reading their minds, which, by the way, disclaimer, I'm not actually reading people's minds. I'm just making it look like I'm reading people's minds. Think of me like an actor, like, but like a really good actor that you don't even know how he's doing it. That's what I'm doing. Right. I'm not actually reading your mind, but just getting that out of the way. When I do,
And you're not actually doing magic either. It's really just
correct. Yeah, but I think the mind reading is a little harder to explain. Like people genuinely believe that, like I'm reading their facial expression, or like I know something that most people don't know. Like it's not what it is at all. I mean, yes, I do know things that the other people don't know. That's how the trick works, but.
You make it look like you know what's in their head, but really you don't actually know what's in their head. There's other ways that you know it, but it definitely seems that way because you have a lot of experience doing this.
And a lot of mentalists or magicians use like the type of presentation where they'll say like, okay, like count to 10, and they try to like pick up on tells or stuff like that, or like you blink twice, or your facial expression's like this, or you're standing like that. There's not a lot of truth to that. Like a lot of that's just for the performance. They know what the word you're thinking of is without you blinking twice. It is just a trick, but at the same time, it is probably one of my favorite. Like, these mind reading things are impossible. Like, how do you know what I'm thinking? So those usually get a lot of really, really, really good reactions.
So yeah, give an example of like one, like something that you know about somebody that they're freaking out.
Yeah, like I've told people like their phone passwords, like password, like literally the password to their phone.
What?
Their debit card PIN number.
What?
Someone came over to me at a simcha once, and he's like, I'm having a baby this week. I don't know if it's a boy or a girl. Can you tell me if it's a boy or a girl? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a girl. I get a text a week later from this guy. I don't know. I didn't even know him. He somehow got my number. Big letters. Like, it's a girl. How did you know? And like, he was freaking out.
50-50 chance.
Exactly. I just like confidently just said, it's going to be a girl. I'm like, listen, if I'm right, like he's going to freak out. If I'm wrong, he won't even remember or he'll forget about it. And like, no one else will know that even happened. So like, it's really funny. It was a really funny story. So
you don't really have a lot of choices over there.
I told him he was going to have a girl.
What?
That was fun. I told someone their name once that I never met. I told them their first name.
What?
Or I'll tell people like relatives of theirs as kids.
What?
You can't say.
That's the trick part, but whatever the method is. But yeah,
I think it's crazy when you get someone to like somehow like you get like marker on somebody's hand or something. And
yeah,
you
that's go anywhere. A lot of people like
draw on people's hands without touching them.
I'll like draw like something on their hand and then I'll make it like vanish from their hand. I'll pull it off and then put it on someone else's hand, and I'll draw on my hand and I'll put it on their hand without even touching them, which is crazy. Take someone off my hand and put it on their hand.
Do you see the Sharpie logo? Can you guys get a close-up on that? There we go.
And that's just sleight of hand.
Like, which is crazy, because it's like you literally take marker. If I draw a marker on my hand,
it won't
how
off,
in the world you got it? Doesn't even make sense. Doesn't make sense.
I'll do it right now. I'll do it right now. Here, look. Boom. Through the screen. Check your hand.
No,
that's not. That would have been good, though. That would have been really cool. No, I can't.
That would have been really good reaction.
No, but no, but for real. Screen. Like, yeah, that's a favorite when people like that. People like when I change their money. Like, I'll take someone's $1 bill and change it into 100 and let them keep it, which is super cool.
Oh, you want to do that often. To my money?
Yeah,
you'd be out of a lot of money. I know.
For the kids listening, there's something called a corporate event, which is basically when a company makes a party or makes an event for the people that work for them. So
yeah,
I do like a lot of those.
All the big fancy people in one room.
Yeah, exactly. So I do a lot of those. And what I'll do is a lot of times is I'll ask whoever's in charge, I'll have them just give me, when they pay me for the event, before I get there, I'll tell them, look, like if you want to put a couple extra $100 towards your employees, I'll turn their ones into hundreds. And let them keep it. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people like doing that. Like, it's
oh, okay.
Like, when I'm doing my walk around, like, I don't want to give them my own money. So I just give them the company's money, which is
Okay, that works.
No, but I'll change ones into hundreds and I'll literally let them keep it, which is amazing.
That's so cool. It sounds like the job of a magician or a mentalist or whatever, illusionist, is really there to get people excited. It's an entertainment thing. It's something to be entertainment.
Absolutely.
Like, 100%. And it sounds like since you're a kid, you were just always looking for ways to A, be an entertainer, and B, make people happy, right? Like, and
I just like attention. I just like attention. However, I can get attention.
I think we all need attention. I don't think that's such a bad thing, by the way. Part of being a person is everyone needs attention. Now, everyone doesn't need to be on a stage, but everybody needs different forms of attention. And if you can accomplish something amazing from it, why not?
Yeah. And the plus side is also that I literally, like you said, like get to make people happy. Like, it's a mitzvah and a bracha in and of itself. Like, I'm doing what I like. I'm getting paid to do it and I'm making people happy. Like, it's a win-win-win for everybody. So
totally.
It's pretty cool.
Do you have any opportunities to use your talent as a chesed? Like to, you know, make people happy like that?
Absolutely. I wish I did. I wish I could do more, honestly, but I'll go visit kids in the hospital. If anybody ever reaches out to me, like, oh, can you visit this kid? He's in the hospital in Manhattan, or I'll usually try to make time to go and do that.
Do magic tricks, like at their bedside type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's really, it makes them really happy. Like, I've seen what it could do for people. And I had a story. I went to go see a kid. I had an event in Muncie, and then on the way, I stopped in to go see this kid. I don't think the kid was more than like 8 or 9, like really, really little kid, like really sad story. You'll see why after, but like 8 or 9 year old kid. And his mother told me, she met me at the door and she said, he hasn't smiled in months. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, he hasn't smiled. Like, he's really weak. He can't move. He hasn't smiled in months. And I'm like, okay, listen, I'll try my best, you know? So I went in there and I started doing tricks and, you know, and he didn't have really energy. So like, he was kind of laying on the couch, but he was able to watch what I was doing. And I did a couple tricks and all of a sudden, like maybe like 2 or 3 tricks in, like he has this big smile on his face.
Smile, it is a very easy thing. Just smile to others, happiness will bring. Smile to get a smile, forever smile.
I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So I start doing more stuff and like I start getting more involved and I stay there for as long as I could. And by the end of it, like I could tell he had more energy. Like he was really like enjoying. Obviously, he was still sick. Like he's laying there. He couldn't really move, but he was participating. Like he was smiling. I left. A few days later, I get a text from his mother saying like, you have no idea. Like we never realized how much like he enjoys magic. And like he really like got to smile. And like that hasn't happened in so long. I think it was maybe a couple months later. Unfortunately, he passed away from his sickness. And I remember getting a text. The person from my lifeline texted me and she said, I just want to let you know this kid passed away. But all he was talking about, definitely for like right afterwards and for a few days after, was your tricks. I'm like, you really got him to smile. And like, he really like was able to like enjoy at least a little bit like the time that you were there. And like, you know, even though he was going through like such a crazy hard time, you're able to like make him forget about that for just a little bit. Like wow. That to me was like one of the craziest in that moment. Like that was like, to me, like, this is why I do this. Like there's no, like, forget the events, forget getting paid, forget right. doing it because I enjoy right. it. But like, if I'm able to make such an impression on someone who's going through such a hard time, right. that's the most important thing. So yeah, a little bit of like a sad story, but like, you see like what this could do for people. And it's like really powerful.
For sure. And everybody has yeah. to figure out ways that they, you know, not everyone is in this position to go visiting people in hospitals or whatever.
There's always something you can do to help people out.
Something. Right. Exactly. With yeah. the talents you have.
Yeah. And there's so many times where like, you know, not everyone gets the opportunity to see performances or shows. So I'll try my best to perform if I'm able to. If someone comes up to me and says, oh, can you show me a trick? Like, I'll usually try to do it unless like I'm in a position where I can't. If younger magicians
and you just like out, you make tricks out of like the materials you have, like you could just
yeah,
make a trick
try to
out of like
on the spot. There's always stuff I can do.
Right, like I'll give you I'm in a restaurant with you, I'll give you a napkin. Okay, so anyone who yeah. sees Shlomo Levenger at a restaurant, just like bring over whatever you have in your pocketbook and dump it upside
one
down.
One trick though, I don't want to do, you know, it's gonna, if I'm there too long, like, you know, like my wife's gonna be like, okay, listen, we have to eat, but I actually should, but I'll do one trick. I'll give you my word. If you come over to me, I will do one. But also, if like younger magicians reach out to me, and this is something I'll do as well, like if younger magicians reach out to me or people that are just starting out and they have questions or whatever, if they email me or if they text me or call me, don't overdo it, but like I'll try.
I know, be careful.
I would say you're
getting a lot of emails right now.
No, email's the best. If you're actually into magic and like you have questions or I don't know, you want advice or whatever, like send me an email. It will be in the show description, whatever.
Okay, perfect.
You'll put it somewhere. And yeah, just email me and I'll try to get back to you as soon as I could. I try to respond to everybody. So
that's amazing. When you watch other magicians doing tricks, I always wonder this. I'm imagining that when you see someone else doing a magic trick, you probably in your head yeah. are like trying to figure out how they did it. Oh yeah, I know that one. They did that. There's really somebody there behind. He's telling him in his ear what he's doing. Like, do you do that? Are you that guy?
I'm very much not that guy.
Really?
I don't think I ever was. Like, to be honest, like even before I did magic, I don't think I ever like I didn't want to be so loud. Like, oh, like I just watched. But now that you're
so good at it.
So even less, because I appreciate what the person, how hard he worked to try to do what he's doing. So like,
that's really
I'm
nice.
I'm going to let him do it. Like he,
right, it's his moment. Yeah.
He put in time to do that. Like, you know, enjoy it. This is your moment. When I go see other shows, like, first of all, I appreciate magic way more now. So like when I go see shows, I just sit there and I want to just enjoy it. Like, I just want to sit there and be like, okay. Even if I know what's happening, though, I could still be like, okay, wow, he did that really well, or he did that really well. That was like, okay, you know, maybe I can learn how to do that better, even, you know, just from seeing somebody else.
Right.
I'll try to take notes and tips on what's going on. This happened very recently. I was at like a close-up magic type of thing. I was there watching the tricks. I wasn't working there. I was right on the table, and I don't think he knew I was a magician. And like the whole time, I played dumb. I'm not going to be that guy. Like,
wow, really? Wow.
Yeah.
That is so special because I feel like in general, it's hard for people to be like that with anything. You know, like sometimes like even if you're at a table and someone starts saying a Dvar Torah, right? Kids could relate to this. Sometimes your sister says Dvar Torah at the table, your brother, and you know, or someone tells you a joke and you're like, I know that one. And you say the answer. It really can make someone feel bad. And it's so special that you are mindful. Like, no, this is their time. This is your time. I don't need to tell them that I think probably better than them.
Right. And no, and to think, I mean, I probably am, but like, I'm not going to say, no.
No, that's okay. You could say that. You're very good, Shlomo. Like, but, you're a really good magician.
No, there's plenty of very, very talented people out there. But that being said, like, I kind of put myself in the mental space of like, okay, what if that was me? Would I want somebody else doing that to me? Definitely not. So if I wouldn't want someone to do that to me, I'm definitely not going to do it to somebody else.
Do to others what you want to be done to you. It's true in every aspect of our lives. Do you ever make mistakes sometimes when you do a trick, live?
Oh, yeah. All the time. Not like crazy, crazy. Not like big mistakes. That doesn't
happen. What was like the worst mistake that you made?
There's a lot. The worst, this was when I was really starting out. And I've said this, I think, in other places before, but I'll say here because it's really funny.
That's okay.
This is when I started magic. It might have been even like my first 5 shows. Like, I didn't know what I was doing. And there was this one trick where you're trying to make water disappear. And you pour water into a cup and you do whatever. And then you turn over the cup and the water's gone. And that's a cool trick. And I still do a version of it today. But the way the trick works, and I don't mind revealing this, is like, you have like this powder that you put in the cup you pour the water in, it kind of like solidifies the water.
Powder so turns like, into something.
Yeah, like when you turn the cup, it's like whatever's what's in a diaper, like the stuff that's in a diaper, like makes it like like gel.
Turns into like a gel. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So when you turn the cup over, it's just solid in the cup and it disappears. So I was doing that and I didn't put in the right amount of powder, I don't think. And when basically the whole thing, the whole funny part of the trick is like, I say like, oh, the water's going to disappear. And I have them hold it on the top of their head and tip it over on top of their head. And like, people think I'm going to make them pour it on their head. And then like, it ends up vanishing. And it's that's supposed to be like, you know, the trick.
Right.
But that's not what happened. I didn't put enough powder and it didn't gel well. And it became like this nasty, like gloopy, like just mushy, like substance. And like the person like tipped the cup over their head and it just spilled all over them. And it was really embarrassing. And
that is so horrible. Awkward.
And I said, I'm never doing that.
So what do? How do you
trick.
Recover from that? Like, how do you?
You just, it was really embarrassing. You move on. I don't know. You just, there's nothing you can really do in that situation.
What's actually very cool though, is that you pushed ahead and you didn't give up on magic. You gave up on the trick maybe, which makes sense.
Funny.
You do some really cool stuff. Like, who are some of the really cool like people or events that you did magic
for? So I don't know.
You stick yourself into cool situations.
Yeah. So I don't know how many of the listeners like playing sports, you know, or, you know, following sports a lot. Okay. So
I think so.
I just got back last week from a team, the baseball team in LA called the Dodgers. I was just with the team. I performed my show for the entire team.
That says LA Dodgers. That's you guys. Give yourselves a huge round of applause. Yes.
You can find videos of that. There's a lot of them.
So cool.
I actually had a video this week that I posted from it that has over 10 million views all across all platforms. And it got picked up by a lot of big places. And it was really cool. And it went
so what did you, what did you do? Like, what was that like? Was that scary for you? Like, when you do these things? I'm honestly getting used to it.
I think beforehand I was a little nervous. But like, over the last bunch of years, I've been doing a lot of magic with different athletes. I don't know how I broke into that circle. Like, it's just networking. Like, I met people who knew people who liked magic, and then they liked me, and then they introduced me to this person and that person, and then that led to one thing, led to another. Also, one other thing, I'm very proactive. And for all of you those who are listening, the word proactive, and you can
teach me please about being proactive. Proactive
means not sitting and doing nothing. Proactive means you're going to take initiative and you're going to say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this happen. I'm going to speak to this person. You're doing something proactive.
It's the opposite of lazy, basically.
Yes, correct. Correct. So, I mean, I'm also lazy, but I'm also proactive.
It's okay. Not everybody's proactive all the time and not everyone's lazy all the time.
Correct.
Like, you can,
so
you
I'm
know.
Very proactive. So I reach out to people. I say, hey, can we do this? Can we do that? And I start a conversation, and that is a huge way to connect and make things happen that you wouldn't think would have happened otherwise. So I would text this person. I would say, hey, I'm going to be in Arizona. Let's do a show here. And listen, if they say yes, boom, win. If they say no, you weren't going to do it anyway unless you texted them. So it's like a win-win mindset of like, okay, if it works, amazing. If it doesn't, it wouldn't have happened anyway if I didn't text them. So you're not losing anything.
Totally.
So I have that mindset a lot. And like, that will, you know, gives me the I guess the cock, like reach out to people and like make
it takes
happen.
You places. It takes you places.
But there's a better word for it, not proactive. It's called hishtadlus. Like, obviously, I'm not the one making it happen.
Say it again. Say it again for everybody.
Hishtadlus. I'm just starting the conversation. After that, it's up to Hashem. He's the one who decides whether this happens or whether it's not. He's even the one who's deciding whether I text this person or not. But if I put a little bit of effort into it, Hashem's gonna, hopefully, you know, if it's the right thing, Hashem's gonna take it to the end. So
listen, it's just lessons from the magician.
Yeah, it's being a little bit proactive and then leaving the rest up to Hashem. And I do believe that if we do the right thing, like if we, you know, in our minds, we say, okay, is this the right thing or is this not the right thing? If it is the right thing and you're making the right decision, like Hashem will give you more bracha in that area. So like for me, like there were times where like there were opportunities that came up that just didn't fit what I think a front person should be doing or what I hold myself for. So I said no. And there could have been really big opportunities. There were some really bad opportunities that I turned down.
Yeah, that must be really hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's deciding. Not me. Like that's not for me. And I turned them down. And
you have to make a decision.
I think Hashem sees that and he rewards people for doing the right thing. I think
it's beautiful.
You know, I think when we want to make the right decision and we do it, I think we definitely get rewarded. With
yes,
better,
scar for that, for sure.
We get Hashem gives us more bracha now in this world.
Exactly. 100%. You'll get opportunities that are even better for you that you 100%. Didn't see coming. So Shlomo, just to like, you know, leave off our kids with something that like we could take away. Not every kid is going to be a magician and not every kid is going to do anything like that. But not just a word of advice for kids. Listen, who have a dream.
If everyone was a magician, I would be in trouble because there would be
it wouldn't be cool anymore. Exactly. No,
I wouldn't get as many jobs. So please don't be a magician.
Right, exactly. Don't be too good. Like Shlomo will help you get to a certain point, but don't get better. Just kidding.
Right.
What best advice can you give to kids who are on to great things, but they're, you know, they need that extra push?
So I'm going to just piggyback off what you said a little bit. You said not everyone should be a magician. And I think that's a really good thing to say. I'll tell you why. Because I think that everyone should do what they're into and what they want to do. Not everyone's going to be into the same things as other people. Some people are into sports. Some people are into singing, dancing, magic, comedy, juggling, gymnastics, literally you name it. I'm sure there are people that are into it. Whether you want to be an author, you draw, you paint, whatever it is, stick to it and try to find something that you appreciate about it. If it's just something that you're like, I don't really care about it, but I do it. I would say find something that you care about. Find something that like you genuinely like, okay, I really enjoy this and stick to it and do it. And I guarantee you, you will be great at it. And even if you're not, people will tell you that you are. So don't worry.
And it could just be a hobby, right?
I would
it happens to be it's your parnasa, but like.
This is my job. This is my job. But it could literally just be a hobby. It could be literally something you just do for fun after school. That's what a hobby is. And
love it.
That's okay. And that's the way to do it. And magic is still a hobby for me, believe it or not. Like, it's my job, but it's also my hobby. I spend time when I'm not working, even like working on different tricks and trying to learn new stuff all the time. So,
but that's what makes you such a good magician, I think. You realize?
I guess so. Like, I'm fully invested. I really enjoy it.
You breathe it. You probably dream about it in your sleep.
Find something you really enjoy. That's my advice.
Amazing. Shlomo, thanks a million. And it's so fun to get to know you a little bit better. And I hope that all our listeners feel like they got to know you a little bit better. And
shout out to my wife, Shani, for letting me come on here because she's
OMG,
out right now.
For real.
I told her I'm coming on and she's like, awesome, let's do it.
And also shout out to
Sugar Bomb Candy. Check it out.
Yeah. Thanks so much. And Freila Kamparim.
Freila Kamparim. Bye, guys.
Bye. Hey there, kids. Are you ready to find out about the books I talked about in the beginning? One of the hardest parts of being a kid, I find, is recess time. There's a lot of freedom. Kids are running around. And I always just tell the kids, like, it's all about feeling good about yourself. You're confident and you know how to spread that to yourself first and then to other people. There will be less of the bullying and less of the feeling bad and less of the emptying of your bucket. You know what I mean? Okay, fine. I'll tell you the book. It's called Sarah the Bucket Filler. There's also a book called Benny the Bucket Filler. And both of these books, written by Rivka Fishman, are Mosaica Press books. And they basically explain to kids in a playful but also educational way how we all have this imaginary bucket looming over our heads. And every time something unfortunate happens in our day, our buckets get emptied. And there's so many different ways you can fill them. And if you want to learn how you can be a bucket filler, you will see how just a book like this can literally make you change the whole way you think about yourself and think about your friends every single day. I read Sarah the Bucket Filler tonight to my kids at bedtime, and then we schmoozed about it afterwards. It's a great, great book. I'm serious. Get it? And you're going to see how it really, really opens up such important conversations about friendship, about how you feel about yourself, and how you look at other people. And sometimes when you see that other person who looks like they're doing something mean to you, in Sarah the Bucket Filler and Benny the Bucket Filler, you'll discover that maybe there's something that you could even do for them. But whoa, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Head to mosaicapress.com and use our code KIDS18 and you'll get 18% off the whole website and stock up on those books. Benny the Bucket Filler, Sarah the Bucket Filler, go be a bucket filler today. And now it's time for you to meet David and Leah, two kids in an incredible family of unicycle riders. Wait till you hear the way they use their talents to make so many people happy and the way that their talent actually brings them together as a family. Hi, Leah and David. Welcome to Incredible Kids Podcast. Hi. I'm so happy you're here. Each of you, you could take turns. You can tell our listeners where you're from, how old you are, and just a little bit about yourselves. Let's start with you, Leah.
Hi, my name is Leah Braun. I'm 12. I live in Muncie. And I'm the only girl of six brothers.
Hi, my name is David. I'm 8 years old. I'm in Galatoa in third grade.
Wow. Okay. So you're third grade. And Leah, what grade are you in?
Seventh.
Okay. And you told me you go to Yeshiva Spring Valley, right?
Yeah.
Do you know that's where I went to school?
We asked Mrs. Mercia if she knows you. She said she remembers you.
Oh, she better remember me. So funny. So, Leah and David, I want to get to know you a little bit, but I also want to start off by saying that I find it to be very incredible, the way of Hashem. I was looking for kids who have a specific talent, and I didn't know how I would find them because I really, really, really wanted to interview kids who ride unicycles. And you guys sent in a little voice note of yourselves telling me about your talents, and not just about your talents, but what you do with your talents. And that was exactly what I was looking for.
Hi, my name is Leah Braun. I'm in seventh grade, and I taught myself how to ride a unicycle. I taught myself when I was 8 years old, and my five brothers know how to ride one, and my father, and we make unicycle shows for people.
I feel like Hashem sent the Braun kids to me to be able to tell me about what you do. And of course, by doing that, you're sharing your mission with so many people. We have thousands and thousands of kids that listen to Incredible Kids podcast within the first week of it coming out each time. Think about how incredible it is that whatever you tell us today is going to inspire so many people. Maybe not just to ride unicycles, but like just to do whatever's in their heart. And we're going to talk a little bit today about what you guys are so good at. Tell me how unicycles came into your lives.
So my father learned how to ride one when he was a kid because his friend rode one. And he taught my older brother. He was a kid. He bought him a unicycle and he learned how. And then my other brothers wanted to ride one too. So they got one and then I got one. And then he got one.
So your father learned as a kid, and then when he, like, once he started having his own kids, was he still riding the unicycle, or he, like, kind of forgot about it?
Yeah, he still did.
Like, you remember your father riding, like, before you guys did?
My weddings with my older brothers.
Oh, okay, so then he taught them. Okay, so how old is your oldest brother?
21.
And how old was he when your father taught him to ride?
Around 10.
I'm wondering, like, what's the age where people would try this?
Learned around going into second grade.
Oh, so that's really younger than 10 for the rest of you guys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What age, Leah, were you when you started learning? Do you remember?
Around going into second grade.
7 years old?
Yeah.
First of all, in case there's somebody who doesn't know what a unicycle is, can you just tell everybody what is a unicycle?
A bike with one wheel.
A bike with one wheel. And it's not because one wheel fell off. It's because that's how it's supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
And are there any handlebars on a unicycle?
No.
So where do you put your hands?
On the side.
Your arms are out, like stretched?
You balance with your hands.
Right. So your hands are helping you, but they're not on any handlebars. So that sounds very scary. Is it?
Yeah. Until you're good at it.
I know that, like, even, you know, riding a two-wheel bike, like we call a two-wheeler, right? Even that is not easy to learn. Most kids, I think, learn how to ride a two-wheeler at some point. But some kids really have a hard time with it because you fall down a lot. I feel like with a unicycle, it's probably a lot harder. Is that true?
Yeah, you do fall a lot more. Just keep on trying and never give up.
Every time I fall, I get back up again. Every time I fall, I get back up again.
That's amazing. Where do you practice? Like, very technically speaking, like when you were learning, where did you practice?
In the hallway to hold onto the boards. And
in your house?
Yeah.
And do you have a very long hallway? Because I feel like I have a unicycle and I still have it, but I never really learned how to ride it. I tried so hard and I was not successful. I really, really wanted to learn how. I wanted to be able to ride unicycles at weddings to make people smile. I could not figure it out. And like, I tried on the walls of my house, like holding onto the walls, like with the walls on both sides of me in the hallway. And like, I found that I would go like, each cycle takes you so far, you know, like every time you spin the pedal, I was like halfway across the hallway. And then I would just like bump into the door. I felt like there wasn't enough time. Like, was that even helpful? I can't imagine learning to ride like that.
I had a really small wheel, so it didn't go so far. But the bigger the wheel, the further it goes by one stop.
Right. Like each rotation takes long. Like it goes more distance. I get that. Maybe I should have practiced on a smaller wheel.
It was tiny.
Okay, so then you tried and you tried and you tried. Did you like hold people's hands? Did that help?
Yeah. Once we started in our house, then we went outside and held on to the car and then went across the car and then left go and went on the street because we live in a dead end. So we practice on the street.
Do you have to keep practicing to like not forget, or like you could not ride and then just pick it up and you'll remember?
You need to practice a lot.
Even though you know how to ride now, you still have to?
I'm still learning.
Did you just start?
I started last year.
So are you still like falling down a lot? Like, what are you learning?
How to turn. I could go straight very good.
So, David, what's the next step for you? Like, now that you know how to go straight, now you're learning how to turn, and then what? What would be next? Like, what would you want to do next?
To start without holding on.
Oh, okay. Leia, yeah. You've been doing this for longer. So, like, first of all, what's it like to be the only girl with all the boys doing it? Was that, like, an easy decision for you to do that with all your brothers?
Got a lot of attention by Hasna as I do it myself and with the kala. And my brothers do it for the chasen and kala in the middle of the dancing.
But you get the most attention because you're the only one doing it in the lady section.
Yeah.
This is a very like technical question, but do you find like your skirt or your dress like gets stuck in the wheel?
I sit on my skirt.
Like you tuck it in underneath?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What do your friends think of it?
I think it's really cool.
It is really cool. It's such a cool thing.
And I teach my friends and my neighbors whenever they come and my friend, they want to.
Everybody wants to try it. But does it work for them?
Not really, because it's very little time. But we have one with the training wheels that my mother tried to learn how to ride one on that.
Oh, how's your mother at this? Does she know how to ride?
No.
No? Does she really seriously try? Or she's like, leave it to the kids?
One time we went to the park and she tried, but didn't work out.
Probably like me, like just wants it to like work right away. Takes a lot more than that, it sounds like. David and Leia, you guys have so many opportunities to make people happy. I know that when I see somebody riding a unicycle, I can't help but smile. Like, it's just like, hey, look, someone's riding a unicycle. Even if they're not even doing a cool trick, just riding it alone is something that makes people happy because it's not something they see every day. So what opportunities do you guys have to make people happy?
So we made shows for like RCCS and for Camp Simcha and for Arvadas. We made for the special needs kids. For camps we make. And in Corona, we made for like the nursing homes and for our cousins, grandparents, because they weren't able to go out.
Wow. Oh my gosh. So, okay, you just said a lot of stuff. So those are a bunch of organizations, different chesed organizations. Do you charge for your shows, or this is like just something that you do?
No, we never charge.
And all six brothers and you are in the show together?
No, my two-year-old brother is not, but everyone else is.
Well, so there's six of you in the show so far.
Yeah. Well, years ago when we did the shows, David wasn't.
I didn't ride a unicycle yet. I rode my bike.
So you rode your bike. Okay. And everyone was probably like, oh, he's so cute.
Yeah.
But now, David, now did you start to be in the shows?
Yeah.
So you said you were in a show for RCCS. Your mother, I think, mentioned to me that you actually won that show. Was it like a talent show with winners?
Yeah.
So you must have done some cool tricks to win.
Yeah.
David, what are some of the coolest tricks that you guys know how to do as a family? Like even your brothers or any of you. What's some of the coolest stuff that people might see in one of these shows?
One of my brothers do their own trick. One of them jumps rope. Right on his unicycle.
He's on the unicycle jumping rope? Like he jumps with the wheel?
Yeah.
Whoa, oh my gosh. That kind of reminds me of like Curious George. Do you know the Curious George book where he's like something with a bike? I don't know, maybe it's like a two-wheeler and he like pops a wheelie. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about? What else could they do?
Brother knows how to ride with one foot.
Oh my. He like lifts a foot in the air?
Yeah.
Wow, okay. What else?
Then one of my brothers knows how to go down steps.
Oh my gosh.
Practices on our front steps outside.
Wow.
And then juggling, some of my brothers know how to do, and going backwards.
Wow. So there's so much to do. Like it sounds like what else could you do after you ride a unicycle? But it sounds like there's so many like levels. Leia, is there anything that you could do? What's the coolest thing that you know how to do?
I'm in the middle of learning how to go backwards. I'm not so good at it yet.
I practice on the street holding a carriage and going driving a carriage.
Creative. This way you feel like you have some sort of, like you're holding on to something while you're moving.
And we have 2 6-foot unicycles. So my older brothers ride that. But I really want to ride it, but I'm not tall enough.
Oh my goodness. That's really high. 6 feet is like, the unicycle itself is 6 feet?
Yeah.
So how do their feet reach the pedals?
The pedals are higher than the wheel. They're not by the wheel. There's a chain on the unicycle.
How do they get onto the unicycle? They have to climb, like a ladder or something?
They jump up.
Hold on.
Oh my gosh. I feel like when they perform for like the elderly people at the nursing home, they're probably all terrified. No?
Yeah, in Corona, we performed by the nursing homes and we're all holding hands to go, like we're going in a circle. And one lady like screaming out that we can't because it's COVID, it's germs, we're not allowed to touch each other.
Oh, that's right. But you're all family, so they probably didn't realize that you were like anyways all together.
They were very upset.
But she was more upset about the COVID, but I'm saying more just like I'm imagining like the bubbies that are like, oh, like you're going to fall. Like it's, you know, like no one does that. I feel like I would be like that and I'm not a bubby.
Our family is used to it already, like all my grandparents.
Right. So yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Have you ever like made any mistakes? Anything funny ever happened while you were riding?
So we always, a lot of times just fall down, but we get back up right away because nobody knows what we're supposed to do, really.
If I bring, we brought simcha. What's it?
If nobody knows if we're supposed to start again. But one time when we were doing a show for Kim Simcha, before we went, we were practicing in a park. And we used like a jump rope for the chick that my brother jumps rope. And we use it to stand in like spots. There's a piece of tape in it so we all know our spots to stand on, to start on.
Yeah.
And we left it at the park. So when we got to Kim Simcha, we realized that we left it. So we were looking around for a long time. We're looking around the whole camp to look if they have a jump rope till we found one.
And did you find one?
Yeah.
So that was a close call. So it worked out in the end.
Yeah.
You were performing in Camp Simcha for the campers. Who were you performing for?
Yeah, for the campers.
Did anybody like have anything to say to you when you finished? Or what was the experience like from performing for those children and adults?
All the kids wanted to try it. They were so excited.
Did you let them?
Yeah, we let them.
But like holding on probably.
Yeah, they did the training wheel one. We brought it along.
Mm. How does it feel for you to know that you're making other people smile?
It's a very good feeling.
I really love making people happy, so I enjoy doing it for them. It makes me very happy.
That's beautiful. I'm curious, like, just because it's so special that you do it as a family. I think that anytime a family like gets together and does something like this, it says something very special about what your family does together. Every family has like their thing. Some families just eat dinner together. Some families take care of feeding their fish together. Like people have their things. Some families sing together. And your family rides unicycles together and makes shows to make people smile and spreads joy and simcha. Do you feel like it makes a difference to the way that all your siblings like feel about each other in other areas? Like, how does it feel that you all work together as a family?
We love doing it together.
Do you feel like you're very connected to your brothers and your sister?
Yeah.
What about you, Leia?
My brother, we lay down or we sit on the floor and then he jumps over us. So then we know that we don't have to be scared because he knows how to do it.
Sounds like you definitely have trust.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And we have to work together, get along when we like go make the shows, when we practice, when we're doing the tricks.
Right. I'm sure that you're a bunch of talented people together. I'm sure things happen that like almost feels like you don't always agree on something. Does that ever happen? Like in how you want to do it? Like who goes first? Or does that stuff never happen for you guys?
Yeah, we have to learn how to work together.
How's that?
We're the youngest, so it's easier.
I'm sure if I asked your brothers, they would be more like, I don't know if we should say, I don't know. But I don't know your brother, so it could be that they're like totally, you know. If that's the case, I'd love to get some of their secret sauce.
They love performing together. Some families go biking and we go unicycling.
For trips, like when we go to the park, we bring our unicycles instead of our bikes.
Oh my gosh. What do people say when they see you? I'm trying to imagine being in the park and seeing a family of unicycle riders. Like that's like so different.
We're like pops and steers and so it's like, whoa.
Check those kids out.
We do it around Rockland Lake. We go around.
Rockland Lake, yeah, of course. I haven't been there in many years, but I know that I've never seen anyone riding unicycle there. What do you say?
My feet, it really hurts, but after I do it for a very long time, because it's 3 miles, so can't go on.
Wow, yeah. I mean, I guess it's easier to bring a unicycle than a bicycle in your car.
Yeah, if it's
less room. Do you have a rack? Do you put them in the rack? Like, how do you travel with them?
When we go camping, we bring them all, and we, like, put them on a thing on the car. We attach them to the car.
Like, in the back or the top?
On the top. You lay them on top.
And then you bungee cord them with the stretchy cord?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So look for them in the highway. If you ever see a car heading up to the mountains with, like, I don't know, how many unicycles do you have? 6 unicycles and 7 for your father? 7 unicycles strapped to the top of your car?
Like 15 unicycles. We don't bring 15? Them all. We have like all different types. We have like...
Oh, but you're not going to bring them all with you on your camping trips.
We have like a motorcycle wheel. It's like really fat wheel. We have a really... skinny wheel.
I mean, I've seen people on hikes like with like a mountain bike. Do you like use your unicycle like in like a mountain?
My brothers do that sometimes. They small
seriously?
Hike. Not like big hikes, the small ones.
But like they could do hills with the unicycle?
Yeah.
I never knew that before.
Very hard. I don't do it, but they do.
That's so interesting. Listen, I think this is so cool. I mean, you're kind of inspiring me to want to try again to ride my unicycle and do some practice. What? Sure. What do you think? I should do it?
Yeah, it's very fun when you know.
Sometimes I'm like worried about what people will think of me. You know, like you're so confident about it, Leia and David, that like I feel like, why not? Who cares, right? Just go for it. We all have our different things that like we want to do.
Succeed.
What?
If you put your head to something, you succeed.
For sure. For sure. And you're proving that that's true. Because there's no like, it almost sounds like there's like a gene in your family. Like, you know how like some families all have like brown eyes and like some families all are good at something? Like, I don't think there's a unicycle gene, you know? I don't think you're born with like something in your body that says like everyone in this family is going to know how to ride the unicycle. It's the type of thing that like you need to put your head to and really, really learn it and want to do it. Yeah.
My cousins also, some of them now ride a unicycle. Like some of
maybe there is. Maybe it is genetic.
We all walk
on. You're disproving my theory.
All my cousins and my family all like walk on our hands also. We walk in handstands.
Oh my gosh. So maybe you should start a circus.
Everyone says that.
But you know why? I'm saying because circuses are all about making people smile. And like, it sounds like you have so many more ideas. The more I'm talking to you, the more like random things you're telling me that you're good at. You could stand on your hands and walk on them. You could ride unicycles, juggle, all these things.
My older brother is dorm now, so it's very hard to all get together on the same day to make a show now.
I know.
Like, why?
We should really do like an Incredible Kids show. That would be so fun.
Pizza Hollow Night.
That would be really fun. Like, literally, like, I don't know. Next time I come to Muncie, like, we should make like a pop-up.
We would love to.
Okay, we'll talk. For real, I think that would be so fun. Even if I'm the only one at the show, I'll enjoy it. Who else will come? So you guys have this chance to tell anybody, you know, out there, for anybody who wants to try something new and teach themselves something new or ask for help with learning something new. Not when we say teach yourself, obviously it means you could ask for help, right? What message do you want to give to kids? David, do you want to start? What do you want to tell kids about learning something new and trying to do new things that are hard?
You shouldn't give up.
Why not? Why shouldn't you give up, David?
If you don't, you will learn how to.
Because if you don't, then you will never learn, right? How in the world are you ever going to do anything different, right?
Yeah.
Your life would be so boring if you never tried new things. Well, Leia, what message would you say, you know, about attempting to do something new and different?
Say to the girls that you don't have to be a boy to do scary stuff. Any girl could do it. Anyone could do
anything. Girl power.
Yeah, anyone could do anything.
Anything you want to be. That's what Jakob Schwecki says, right? He says you could be anything you want to be. You could do anything that, I don't know, something like that.
I can be anything. Anything I want to be.
But that's the cool thing about, I think, when you're young and you try something. You mentioned that in your family, a lot of the kids start riding unicycle when they're going into second grade. I say this all the time. Kids, when they start to try something, the younger you are, the easier it will be for you and the more it will stick with you your whole life. So I'm not going into second grade anymore. So it makes sense that learning something like riding unicycle is going to be a little bit harder when you're my age. And
mother can't either do it.
Right. I'm saying it's not like it's impossible, but it's definitely harder. So it's really important for kids to hear that if you want to try these new things, start trying as many things as you could when you're younger. And eventually you'll find the thing that makes you happy and what you're good at, right?
Yeah.
I think it's so awesome what you guys are doing. And now that it's almost Purim, Purim is just all about spreading simcha, making people smile. Do you guys have any plans for Purim that include making people happy?
Last year, we were clowns and we like gave it out while we're riding a unicycle like on our block.
See, that's a talent in itself. The fact that you could ride a unicycle holding a shalach manos. I thought, David, you said that you need your hands for balancing. It's crazy. That's so crazy that you're able to do so much, like one thing after the next. It's all these different levels. What about this year? Is it a secret?
So we're being penguins.
Are you delivering shalach manos on your unicycle this year?
I don't think so.
So nobody should be looking out for penguins on unicycles around Muncie?
You never know. We always ride around our neighborhood anyway in our unicycle.
Your neighborhood's probably used to seeing you on your unicycles. It's not like a Purim shtick for you guys.
I brought it into school in second grade for class.
But that's been like 5 years ago. What happened in second grade? They don't, no one's interested?
The teachers don't let. Principals don't let.
Don't do what your teachers don't let.
I wish I could.
I know. I wish you could ride your unicycle to school. That would be cool.
It's half an hour. During class, I should.
During class, you should ride your unicycle?
During COVID, that's how my family did it. We walked around the house riding unicycles. Like, the whole day, we were riding unicycles. When we wanted to go to the kitchen, we rode. That's so cool.
I think that's so fun. During COVID, we used to give like sled rides in the house. Like we had a sled with a rope attached to it. That was like our mini amusement park. We pulled the sled around the kitchen, dining room, living room, and we would like run really fast. So sounds like a circus in both our houses. We just didn't know each other then.
Yeah, we had brothers. They were like on a unicycle by the Stender, like learning.
Oh, that's very inspiring. Learning. Could you shackle on a unicycle?
Because you have to know how to balance. So you have to go back and forth. You have to just go back and forth
on the unicycle in order to stay in one place.
It's like treading.
It's like treading. Exactly. That's really crazy. So interesting.
Awesome. Like I prefer myself in girls' talent tour. It's a Girls Got Talent.
Yeah.
Because I rode by my cousin's wedding. And someone saw me there who knows the person who does it. So she asked if I could do it there.
And how was that? Was that different for you to perform all by yourself?
Yeah, it was very fun going to practices, like with my Aunt Davis. I went with, like, she like ran my dance, sing up in the park. And like I saw behind the scenes of everything, like before with people.
Were you like nervous about performing on your own?
I wasn't on my own on stage. I was the only person riding a unicycle, but yeah.
So it was like a whole dance performance, but your job was on the unicycle.
Yeah.
Cool. That's really cool. So there's so many opportunities that are coming up. I'm so happy because like it almost sounds like a talent that like if you don't know how to like do something with it, you could just be like, okay, I just know how to do this. But it sounds like you're, Baruch Hashem, like since you're brave enough to do it at weddings, you have more opportunities. Somebody saw you and said, hey, you should be part of this. Amazing.
And now I got to spend time with you.
Aww. One thing leads to the next, right? Baruch Hashem. And then we're going to plan our show. We definitely sometime have to plan a show because I saw some clips of you and your brothers, right? David was even in it. I saw some clips of him before he rode his unicycle also. And your big brothers on their super tall unicycles and everybody just so synchronized. You know what it means to be synchronized?
No.
Synchronized is like when everyone's doing the same thing at the same time, like just like very like the choreography of like spinning in a circle and then everybody did this and everyone had their place. Because it's not even like dancing, because if one unicycle is off, then everybody could fall over, right?
Yeah.
So you guys, like you said before, everyone trusts each other and you're obviously very good about practicing. And you could tell that you're excited about it. So your joy spreads. What?
Just a lot of time. We also have to get everyone on the same beat when we do it together.
To the music.
Yeah.
Okay, Leah and David, it was so fun to hear like the inside scoop of what it's like to ride a unicycle. I learned a lot of new things from you guys. And I'm so happy that you shared with me that, of course, that you're part of the Incredible Kids and the Tehillim Army. Keep spreading Simcha. And I can't wait to see your show live. I'm getting very excited.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. And have a Freilich in Purim.
There's light, joy, and laughter in the air. Dance the night away, Purim ends here. There's light, joy, and laughter in the air. Dance the night away, Purim all year. There's light, joy, and laughter.
Are you ready to hear from Gershon Mendel? Gershon Mendel actually also rides a unicycle, but in our conversation, we focused a lot on how he did it one step at a time, and how resilient he was, and how persistent and consistent, and all those big words. And I found it to be really interesting, and I hope you do too. Hi, Gershon Mendel. Welcome to Incredible Kids Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you here. Can you introduce yourself to our listeners?
Hi, my name is Gershon Mendel. I'm 10 years old and I live in Montreal.
Montreal. Okay, I think you are our first guest from, I was going to say Montreal, but now that I think about it, I'm pretty sure the first guest from Canada, which is pretty cool. Cool to say you're the first one, right? Actually, maybe the first kid guest from Canada. We did have A.B. Rottenberg from Toronto. Okay, whatever. Anyways, what grade are you in?
Fifth.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, about your hobbies, your interests.
Well, I like to juggle. I like to play basketball. I like to do a lot of stuff.
Okay, that's amazing. So you sound like a normal kid who has a little bit of a kick. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
How often do you meet a kid who tells you they like to juggle and they actually know how to juggle? The furthest I ever got with juggling is juggling like apples, like in the grocery store, but like two at a time.
I do have two other kids in my grade who know how to juggle, so we sometimes juggle like together.
Super fun. Okay, take us back to the beginning. So you're in fifth grade. When did you figure out that you know how to juggle or take interest in it?
When did I? I think I started in like halfway through third grade.
What inspired you? How did you know what you were doing?
Well, I started getting bored. Like, I used to, like, try and try and try, but it never worked. And I used to have, like, nothing to do in my house.
Okay, I'm bored in the house, and I'm in the house, boy. Boy. Bored in the house, and I'm in the house, boy. Boy.
So I just wanted to be able to, like, do something while I'm, like, waiting for something. So I just decided to start juggling. I know I have nothing to do. Is that for draw or do other things?
By the way, I'm just kidding around. Everyone gets bored. You don't have to explain why you're bored. It's like totally normal to be bored. Who doesn't get bored sometimes? But instead of just like sitting around and fetching, you found an activity to do.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Okay, so what happened next?
And then I started getting bored of juggling.
Bored of juggling. Okay. So, wait, but how did you learn how to juggle? How did you learn how to do it? You just figured it out?
No, not really. Well, half I figured out and half I used from videos like I watched, how to juggle.
But even with that, you probably had to practice a lot. Like, it doesn't just come because you watched a video.
Yeah. Like, I would juggle random things. Then I started getting bored of juggling. And then a family friend bought me a unicycle. So I said, this is another good idea. Then when I was around towards the end of fourth grade, like a month before the end of school, I started trying out the unicycle, and about a half a year later, I knew how to ride the unicycle.
Whoa. So a half a year is about 6 months.
Yeah. But every day I would practice.
And that's every day you practice for that long?
No, maybe like a half hour a day, 45 minutes.
But what kept you going? Like, what made you not want to give up? Because, I don't know. Like, here's what I'm trying to say. Like, you know, sometimes when you're learning, like, to play piano, let's say, the first day you learn how to play piano, you know how to play a few keys. You might even know how to do a song, right? A very easy song. And the next day you got better, better, better. With unicycle, I feel like it doesn't feel like you did anything. You know what I'm saying? You can't, like, see how better you're getting. It's like you do it for, like, half an hour here, half an hour there. Like, how do you keep yourself going? Because it's not exciting unless you know how to ride.
Well, it's because it was sunny outside and wouldn't want to stay home when I would be able to do something outside. So I used to go outside, hop in my unicycle and go.
Even though you weren't riding freely, you were just happy to be in the sun while trying.
Yeah.
That's such a great spin on it. Such a good attitude. Like, I'll just enjoy the weather while I'm quasi unicycling. Half and half.
It doubles as practice.
Right. Soaking in the sun and doing that. I mean, you don't have too much sun in Montreal, do you?
Well, in the winter, not a lot. But in the summer, yeah, we have sun.
Montreal gets pretty cold, doesn't it?
Yeah. But this year we had, like, not such a big winter.
I know. I think, like, around the world, it seems like it wasn't such a cold winter this year.
Yeah, like maybe we had like one or two snowstorms, which is like not normal.
Right.
Usually we have like 10 or something.
Wow. Wow. So anyways, okay. So riding the unicycle took you 6 months. How did it feel when you finally figured it out and you were just going on your own? I was very excited. What was the first thing you did? Take me back to that moment. Do you remember what that was like for you?
What I did was like I first, like, because I have like a walkway from my house, like from my house, from the steps to the sidewalk. So I would first go like halfway, then I would do more, then I would turn into the sidewalk. Then now I could go straight from the stairs, go all the way around, then go to the end of my block, go around the block and come back.
Wow. You had like a route, like a practicing route. And now you have like a loop, it sounds like. Ooh, round and round the house. So what else can you do? You can juggle, you can unicycle. You could play basketball. Do you have anything else that you can do like in that entertainment department?
Well, there's two things I could juggle. I could juggle regular balls, like tennis balls. And I'm not so good at it, but I could juggle clubs.
Clubs?
Yeah, clubs.
Clubs are like they kind of look like bowling pins?
Yeah, like big bowling pins.
Right, okay. I think that when people hear about jugglers and unicycle riders, we think of, I don't know, we think happy thoughts. I think of circuses. I think of carnivals. Have you ever been part of something like that before?
I've been part of carnivals, but I've never done juggling. Well, basically, because we used to have partners, like we would partner up with younger grades.
In school?
So we once had like a talent show, so I did the unicycle there.
Oh, that's like the only time I'm at. And the partner knew how to ride also?
No, he would like throw me balls and I would start juggling or something.
So what's the next thing that you want to learn how to do?
Well, I'm starting to practice violin.
Oh, that's cool.
It's pretty complicated.
It's for sure harder than like the typical piano or guitar.
I could also play piano.
Oh, okay. See what I mean? You're just throwing in all these hobbies and talents. Like, I'm just going to be quiet and listen. What else?
Well, my teacher, he's like very fast. So, like, the third lesson, we're already using the bow and the violin together.
Is it because your teacher's fast or you're a very quick learner?
Both.
Wow, that's amazing.
So we had, like, this test where, like, you hang your hand, then you take the pencil, go under, and it's, like, then you arrange it in the position of the bow. And usually he gives his students, like, a week to practice that. But he saw that I'm just, like, really quick. So he said, okay, you could just practice the bow.
Wow. So, Gershon Mandel, I have a question for you. You sound like a really smart kid. You sound like, obviously, we know that you're talented, Kanai Nahara, and you're motivated to do things with your time, right? It sounds like you're very proactive. You're looking to do things and make life interesting. So, can you speak to all of our, you know, all these kids around your age who are listening? Tell them what you wish other kids would know. I don't know. If there's any message, you know, thinking about what we can do with our talents, how we can serve Hashem with joy. What do you want to tell everybody?
Well, there's a tip of how to become better at things is that you start and you don't stop in middle. You just keep going. If you want to do something, you don't start and like stop smack in the middle. You have to continue going.
Okay. Can you give an example? Like how kids could understand that?
Like, let's say you want to get good at, I know, drawing. So you can't just draw for like half a minute a day. You have to actually work at it, like maybe 15 minutes a day, and then you could go to a half hour a day. Or also, if you're starting to play a guitar, don't play guitar for like a half a second and then go. You have to actually like be, what's the word? Consistent.
Consistent, persistent, motivated, right? But yes, consistent. I think that that's exactly what you mean. Because when you're consistent, you don't just take breaks. You don't say, ah, today I'm not in the mood, right? Like you have to just make it part of your routine in order to keep building upon what you know, right? And better and better and better and better. That's awesome. Do you set goals for yourself in general? It sounds like you know how to set like a goal for yourself. Yeah. Like I'm going to do that, like, and I'm going to do this to get there. Know what I mean?
Yeah, well, a good way to keep track of like practice time, you could make like a chart, like, okay, today I'm going to do, because like Sunday, most kids don't have school, so I can practice from 12 to 1. Monday, I'm going to do from 3 to 3:30 or something like that.
A chart or something like that could help them make sure it actually happens and like have a reminder like that.
Yeah.
I find it very, very inspiring to meet kids like you. Who already, if you're in fifth grade and you're talking this way and you're thinking this way without even maybe realizing it, like making these like goals for yourself and figuring out how you're going to get to different points. Because listen, let's say you said you juggled. You might think it's a waste. Like I learned how to juggle, but now I don't really care about it so much anymore. But Gersha Mendel, what did you learn from being a juggler? Give me one lesson you learned from your juggling experience.
Like I said, you can't stop in the middle or else you're going to get really bad.
Right. You taught yourself that if you put your mind to something, you'll get there. And then you learned how to juggle. And then it's like, okay, if you want it new, you want to juggle, juggle. If not, not. But like now you could try something else. Cause like, okay, I figured that out. I'm going to do the next thing. And the next time you might even think bigger or different, totally different, you know?
Yeah.
That's really cool. I'm going to be thinking about that. I'm going to be thinking about what's the thing that I want to jump onto next? And then think about how it might take a long time, like 6 months it took you to ride a unicycle, but then now you're a rider and you're still riding your unicycle, aren't you?
Yeah, but the winter I don't usually do it.
Okay, but come spring. I mean, it's coming soon, so you'll probably get into it again. Just like, you know, my kids haven't rode their two-wheelers all winter either. So one wheel, two wheels, we'll get back into it when it gets nice outside.
Yeah.
שדות פרדסים של אמת כלנית ושקט יפרחו לשובם.
Well, Gersha Mendel, it was so good to meet you. And I know you're a big listener of Incredible Kids Podcast. And have a happy Purim.
Thank you for having me.
Bye.
Bye.
And now it's time for homework. Oh, come on, not that kind. Today's homework is take a few minutes from your day to go make someone smile. Think about your talents, your abilities, your strengths. Maybe you're really nice at talking to people. Maybe you're a good listener. Maybe you know how to do a cartwheel and whatever. You be creative. We're not talking big major talents here. Let's just focus on this one detail of making people smile and go find a way to make people smile. Now, if you're listening to this episode before Purim, oh my gosh, you have loads of opportunities because going out of your way to bring Mishloach Manos to somebody who can use that extra boost and choosing somebody that, you know, that really could use that extra smile. Maybe they don't have as many friends as other people or whatever. You guys use your imagination. Or maybe not. Or maybe it's just a regular day and you're listening to this in the middle of the summer or in the middle of the winter or whenever. It doesn't really matter. Just go encourage yourself to take some time to make someone smile and notice the way it makes you feel as well, even though that's not the whole point of it. But, you know, there is something really magical that happens when you bring happiness to other people. We talked about the bucket filler in our ad today for Mosaica Press, but it's true. It really fills your own bucket. And I just want to wish all of you the most beautiful Purim and a life filled with happiness, a life filled with Simchas Achaim. It's such a gift. And actually being happy and smiling is something that we need to daven for because Hashem gives us that real, real true feeling of happiness. But we got to do our best to at least put a smile on our face and spread it to as many people as we can. Try it and see how it goes. Bye. See you next time.
Are you an incredible kid? Send your story to ikidspodcast@gmail.com.
Subscribe today to the Incredible Kids Podcast.
Thanks for listening. And remember, you are all
incredible kids.